Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
Wizz Air. I don't know if you're familiar with them. They're a Hungarian airline. They're launching a subscription service offering unlimited flights to people who sign up. It's an all-you-can-fly scheme. And it's been introduced. They have an introductory price for a limited time. A year's subscription is going to set you back €499 before this Friday. And then it'll increase to €599. And the membership is, it's an all-inclusive of all flights across their international network. They have about 950 routes across Europe, North Africa, the Middle East and Asia. But what I'm wondering is, should airlines be allowed to offer subscription services? Thomas is with me on the line today in Cavan. Is it a good idea, Thomas?
No, absolutely not. Apart from anything else, it's the direct opposite direction that we should be travelling. We all understand that, you know, sometimes people want foreign holidays, and it's not the one person going on the one holiday to Spain that's, you know, the main cause of it. We know from all the evidence that it's frequent flyers. So what this is directly doing is encouraging more frequent flyers, which is burning up the climate at a rate that we simply can't sustain. This is the direct opposite direction that we should be going. But I do think it speaks to a very simple thing. It speaks to a reality that it's so cheap to fly that companies like this can still offer these and turn a profit. And when you consider, Andrea, like the reality here is that you or I, whether we're heating our home this year or we are driving our car down the road to get our grocery shopping, we have to pay carbon tax on all of that. We have to pay VAT. These airlines are actually exempted from all of that. So while your granny is freezing at home trying to, you know, buy enough oil to heat her home, these major companies can turn huge profits for their shareholders. And that's really a very simple example of how, you know, climate change is an unevenly distributed thing, and that so many of these big polluters are simply getting away with it.
So so there should be a change in what the airlines have to pay by way of their contribution, Thomas, then?
Absolutely. And we do need to talk about the fact that, like, I am a former frequent flyer for work. It was a requirement for it. Now, at this stage, if I'm, you know, taking a holiday or whatever, I'm always searching up. I'm going to Brussels not too long, and I have the luxury of being able to take a little bit of extra time and go the slow route. But the cost of it is still absolutely astronomical. It's about four or five times the cost of it. So what we should be doing is we should be properly taxing these, the massive profits that these companies are making, and using them to make more sustainable travel across Europe. A simple example, there has been efforts, like I took a night train recently, a sleeper train. It was absolutely fantastic. I got the entire way from Brussels to Berlin. Mm. But again, the cost was probably three times what it would have taken to fly a similar route, because these companies are able to discount because they're not paying their fair share.
Simon is on the line too. Thomas, stay with us. It's 1800 453 106 is the number. You work in aviation, is that right, Simon?
I've been working in aviation 10 years, looking at fleets such as Wizz Air as their an exclusive Airbus operation, and Airbus would be my area of expertise. So,
how do you feel about flight subscription services?
Well, it's not all it's cracked up to be. Like, the simple thing is, like, Wizz Air, a pretty large airline, current fleet 223 aircraft, but at the same time 141 of these are newer generation Airbus A320neo family, which are 15 to 20% less emitting than previous generation aircraft. They're currently phasing out all the older stuff, and they have 330 of the new aircraft on order. Now, personally, I think this is a bit of a PR stunt at the moment, because Wizz Air, for 3 years in a row, have actually been ranked the worst airline in Europe.
They've got us talking about it today, Simon. Well, we're doing something right.
Exactly. But yeah, at the same time, yeah, it's, as you're saying, it's €499 for this yearly subscription up until tomorrow midnight, then it's €599 thereafter. Of these, there's only 10,000 of these going to be issued. So that will bring in, look, they're hoping to get about $5.5 million in revenue from this. But at the same time, it probably would be topped up to frequent flyers, because, you know, you can only book up to 3 days before the flight, and you're not guaranteed a seat. They're going to prioritize revenue, paying passengers over this. And you still have to pay per segment, a cost of €9.99 per segment. So each flight isn't actually included. So you're still paying €20 on a return flight, even with your
bit of a fine print around it. Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, you know, let's be realistic about this. How many people are actually going to avail of this service? I mean, you know, who would even have the time, I suppose, to really get a level of value out of it? Or, you know, the environmental reasons too, maybe at the back of their mind, not to fly unnecessarily. But there will be some people, though, Simon, who'll be attracted by this.
Oh, yeah, it will sell out. The 10,000 will absolutely sell out. Whether they'll issue more, probably not. As I said, it is more of a PR thing and possibly to bump up their load factors. They're down approximately 2% last year, owing mainly to the fact that there's 41 of their aircraft on the ground at the moment due to there is problems with the engine choice they made, Pratt & Whitney PW1000. There's aircraft, hundreds of aircraft grounded over the world because there's been issues with these. So they're really trying to get the load factor up well over 92% for the rest of the year and try and get the aircraft they have working flying, including the new ones coming in, of which I think there'll be four in the next 2 weeks arriving. So, yeah, it hasn't been a great year for them. The PR is terrible. And this, look, they're on every main news outlet around the Ireland, UK, Europe at the moment. People are talking about them in more of a positive light now, which they really need.
Okay. Rory King is with us too, Simon. Rory is from, of course, Rory's Travel Club. You know, you're in the business, Rory, of, you know, looking for deals for customers, for people that are flying on holidays. Has there been much reaction in your view about this subscription service from Wizz Air?
I actually did a bit of digging over the weekend, and to be honest, Simon there explained it perfectly before. But realistically, being based in Ireland, Wizz Air do a lot of their stuff in Eastern Europe. So for us, based on the island of Ireland, we're actually going to have to fly to meet a Wizz Air flight. So for us, is it worth it? I don't think so. That being said, for people maybe that are retired based at the other side of Europe, it may well be worth it. But I can't see many Irish people taking advantage of it.
I was looking at it this morning. I think you have to fly. You'd have to go through Hungary, wouldn't you, to really avail of their offering?
Yeah, well, they do a lot kind of in, as I say, Eastern Europe. Obviously, like the Hungary Turk, they do a lot in Turkey as well. And yeah, I think Simon covered all the main points. The 72 hours before, realistically, if they've still got 5 or 10 seats, they're going to be prioritised to the normal paying public at 10 times the price. And like I kind of did the maths, I'd say you'd need to be flying 30, 40 times a year with Wizz Air to get your money's worth. Obviously, we know how cheap it can be to fly in Europe without having this subscription. So, yeah, it's definitely, in my opinion, it's a massive PR stunt. And people will definitely avail of it. But based on the island of Ireland, it potentially isn't worth it for us to even look at it.
Yeah, but the real question, though, Simon, is that there's nothing to stop another airline. We'll say, for instance, an Aer Lingus or a Ryanair. Like, there's nothing to stop somebody else from offering the kind of all-you-can-fly service.
Would it work over here? Probably not. Ryanair don't need to do it. They own, you know, 90%+ of their fleet. They don't lease them. Wizz Air lease every single aircraft they own on 10 to 12-year operating lease. There's so much to pay. Ryanair, the biggest by far. I can't ever see it be done here. It is almost like an image thing. You know, Frontier Airlines in the US started it because they had a bad image for quite a while. AirAsia, who operate a number of different carriers in Southeast Asia, did the thing post-pandemic because of the poor performance over there. So here, now the closest actually you can get, Wizz Air UK have an operation. So Wizz Air actually operate in, obviously, main base Hungary. Then they have a Maltese outfit, an Abu Dhabi-based outfit, but also the UK. So technically an Irish person could do it. Mm. You fly to, they are based out of Stansted. So, you know, you get your cheap flight to Stansted. And if you were an Irish customer on this, or you can fly thing, hypothetically, yes, you could take advantage by going out of the UK routes. But no, for with us having Ryanair, it's certainly not.
You don't think it'll happen, but it does, I suppose, raise the question too, Rory, around the minimum cost selling of flights and selling cheap flights for 11 and 12 quid.
Yeah, either way the planes are going, and what a lot of people maybe don't realise is, well, what people should realise is that not every seat on these planes are being sold at that price. There could be someone sitting right next door to you, right beside you, sorry, on the same flight that could have paid 200 quid. So airlines will yield, of course. And to be honest, these people that have got this Wizz Air subscription, they're being booked. They have to book 72 hours before the flight leaves. So I assume there has to be 10-15% of seats available for them to even have a chance at getting these seats. So either way, the aircraft's going. So if they've got enough seats, they're able to make money. They're making their $9.99 plus their subscription on these people. But obviously, if they've only got a handful of seats and they can get full whack, no doubt the same seat could be 150, 200 quid.
What about you, Caitlin? Do you think airlines should be allowed to offer low seat cost flights or all you can fly schemes?
Absolutely not. I think that this is a truly bizarre thing to be seeing in 2024 when we are so close to some of our like pivotal points with climate change and global warming. So I think it's also really interesting that only 2-4% of the entire world's population took a flight, an international flight in 2018. So that's pre-pandemic numbers. And obviously things have changed since then. But like that is such a small percentage of the world. And the carbon footprint of flying is enormous. There are 53 countries in the world where the average person's annual carbon emissions are less than one flight from Dublin to New York and back. Like, that is the scale of carbon that comes out of flying. And we absolutely need to be dealing with the people who are frequent flyers for, like, for travel, for fun.
So the more you fly, the more you pay, Caitlin.
Well, I think that we need to stop thinking about air travel as the first option. We certainly need to make sure that air travel companies are paying taxes and that they are paying towards kind of combating the impact of what they're doing. Because at the moment, they're kind of getting away with just trashing the planet for free, which is a bit insane when we know how big the impact is of flying, and especially flying because of the level of the atmosphere that the carbon is released into is actually even worse for the environment than if we just burned that same fuel on the surface of the earth.
Like, so should the airline pay more then on the fuel, or should the customer pay more for getting on the plane more frequently?
Well, I think that naturally, because they are profit-making machines, they will pass the costs on to the consumers regardless. But it is, again, worth noting that it's only 2-4% of the world that is actually taking these international flights. So it's not like this will be a crazy tax on people who can't necessarily afford to fly. This is something that we need to consider as the real cost to the planet, to the environment, to our air quality that everyone is suffering from. So if there are people who aren't able to fly, they're still being hit by all of the impacts of people flying that often, but they aren't contributing to it. They aren't getting to go sit on a beach in Spain for a long weekend for the crack, but they are still dealing with increased cases of asthma, increased cases of like lung disease because of air pollution. They're also dealing with the fact that farms are really struggling. All of our farms are about 2 weeks behind schedule this year because of the way that the weather has been doing things funny. So the fact that we have a delay in broccoli in our shops is coming from climate change. So we're all being impacted by what 2-4% of the population of the world is choosing to do with their spare time.
What about you, Olivia? Are you tempted by this Wizz Air offer?
I would be. I think I agree with all the sentiments that have been expressed with the other callers or speakers. And I do appreciate there's a huge wider question about, you know, cost and air pollution and all the rest. But just in a simplified version, I travel a good bit, short haul, and I suppose, as I was saying to your researcher earlier, you know, the over 60 cohort in Ireland now have lots and lots of money.
and they're keen to fly, a lot of them.
Exactly. And so we fly often and short haul. And so I think the concept is very interesting. You know, I know obviously it's not directly out of Ireland at the moment. But as I was saying, it begs the question, yes. I mean, it's a bit like the herding theory. You know, if it's put out now in the media, and I would say there will be a lot of people will take it up. And I think that it's not something, I think you raised it yourself there, Andrea. Would Ryanair or Aer Lingus consider it? You know, I mean, I think it's a possibility. We have to work towards it. I appreciate the caller saying, you know, we shouldn't be flying and air pollution. But look, let's be realistic. we're on an island and we want to get off it to go on holidays with family. I have family abroad. You know, people are traveling more, and that's a good thing. And it's equally good for our tourism because there's obviously travelers coming to Ireland. So in general, yes, Andrea, I think it's a good concept.
Right.
I definitely do.
Yeah. And I'm curious, Olivia, would you, you know, I know you have family abroad, and look, I appreciate that's always a trickier situation if you've, you know, kids or grandkids or whatever it is, brothers or sisters living abroad. But does it enter your head when you're booking the flight? I don't know how many times you go away, a couple of times a year maybe, but would it enter your head when you're booking the flight? Oh, we were up in the sky, you know, three times this year. I don't know, I feel bad about booking a fourth flight. Or does it come into you? No.
I have to be honest.
Yeah. No, I appreciate your honesty. And Olivia, let's be honest. Vast majority of people listening to this conversation, a lot of them thinking the same.
No, I mean, I'm passionate about, you know, global warming and air pollution. But, you know, let's be realistic on the ground. And I do all my sustainability issues, you know, living in my little house here, you know. But let's be honest about, we're not going to really change the planet that way by not flying. But, and I do fly quite a lot, short haul and little, like I'm going, I was saying, three times now in the next 3 months I'll be away to Spain, Madrid, Portugal, whatever. But it never crossed my mind, because you know what? I grew up as I was, you know, kids and marriage and whatever in the mid-80s. And, you know, it was tough. You know, we had a recession too, and we had, you know, no grandparents to mine to help me, blah, blah, blah. So I sort of feel it's my time now, you know.
You want to enjoy yourself. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, no, I know a lot of people will certainly be interested in this. I don't know how many Irish. I don't even know, as Rory said. It's not really worth anyone's while in Ireland, is it, Rory? I'm not going to say it's not worth their while, but what did you've worked out? You'd need to be doing about 40 flights a year, did you, to get value out of this?
Yeah, realistically, and obviously we have good Ryanair here at this part of Europe that are doing immense work in terms of, they're putting flights on that you can fly typically for 10, 15 euros between cities in Europe anyway. So the fact is, if you were to pay this subscription and then you had to wait 72 hours before you could even book, and you mightn't even get booked, and if you do, you still have to pay $9.99 a flight anyway. So yeah, in my opinion, it's not worth it. Maybe it is worth people in the UK, close to Stansted, as one of the other callers was saying. But and realistically, when it comes to the whole argument about the cheap flights, obviously, I bring it back to the different flights are being sold at different prices. And if they were to put an extra tax, whether it was an extra 5, 10 euro on a flight, and people were able to pay 25 euro instead of 15, they're still going to go. They said at them prices. So holidays and getting away makes a lot of people very, very happy. So definitely I wouldn't be campaigning to put the prices of flights up.
We'll give a final word, Thomas, to you on this. Do you think there should be a minimum sale on the, you know, the cost of a seat in the air?
I mean, look, I try not to be, you know, too holier than thou about this, but I'm just absolutely taken back by the last person who was talking about their children and that it doesn't bother them whatsoever, that they're burning out their future. I mean, it's actually very hard to stomach that, I'll be honest with you. But in general, as I said, they're going to take the flights anyway. The whole idea of carbon taxation is not about, stopping people taking one holiday or whatever. It's about taking that money and then redistributing it to people who actually need it. So people who can't afford all of that to help refit homes, to do the energy transition, to maybe invest in actually sustainable methods of transport. So that's what it's about. And I know a lot of people will hate saying, oh, well, I don't want to pay a tax. I don't want to pay another tax either. And that's why it's important to actually target those taxes towards people who clearly, apparently, can afford it, because I've just been told that older people have tons of money and they don't mind burning
tons of cash to fly away.
Yeah, I know a lot of older people that didn't.
Thomas, there are plenty of listeners getting in touch with us here on WhatsApp today. John thinks this is a brilliant idea. He hopes Aer Lingus and Ryanair follow suit, do the same scheme as Wizz Air. Another listener says, I travel a lot. It's mainly to see my children because my kids had to leave. It's an island and I will travel as much as I like to see my kids. None of them are left here on the Emerald Isle. But this texter, though, says 100% frequent flyers should always pay more. 087 1400 106 is the number. Keep your messages coming into us. That's Olivia, Caitlin, Thomas, Simon and Rory King there from Rory's Travel Club.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday.
Brought to you by Active Iron on News Talk.